Translation. Certainly that heart is steel-framed, which in spite of one's chanting the holy name of the Lord with concentration, does not change. When ecstasy takes place, tears fill the eyes and the hairs stand on end. This is a very important verse for our japa, our holy name retreat. It speaks of a person who is Harinama Dhyaye, who is chanting the holy name with concentration. But although he does so, there is no real transformation of the heart. And Prabhupada speaks about this transformation of the heart. I will read to you two big paragraphs of this very long purport, which in my mind are just very much focusing on the subject which we are dealing with today. It's shadow chanting. Not real chanting. Someone chants, but it's he has a shadow of it. It's not the full thing. So here is it. It is for you. You will need to concentrate a little because it's very subtle. And I know on an empty stomach it's not always easy in the morning, but I know you can do it. And just give your best. The whole process of spiritual culture is aimed at changing the heart of the living being in the matter of his eternal relationship with the Supreme Lord. He should be a subordinate servant, which is his eternal constitutional position. So here Prabhupada gives a summary of Krishna consciousness. Who understood what that summary says? Yes, you're not listening, which is typical. We always hear in the morning the Bhagavatam and we are really not into it. We are so tired and so exhausted. So let me make it clear, because today is still a retreat day. We want to go deep. So here it speaks of spiritual culture, and the aim of all of this is to stay the same. Oh, good. Changing the heart. Someone listened. I said something wrong. I will do this a few times just to provoke you so that you really have to listen. I would say entirely false things in the name of Prabhupada, which is sometimes done, and you have to check me, okay? Oh, maybe I'm going too far. Once again, Prabhupada, listen now. We don't want shadow Bhagavatam today. We want the real thing. You have to listen with rapt attention. Okay. I can guarantee you I will now say the false thing. You have to check me. The whole process of spiritual culture listening, congratulations. The whole process of spiritual culture, I'm not saying it yet. The whole process of spiritual culture is aimed at changing the heart of the living being. And what is the change of heart? In the matter of his eternal relation with the Supreme Lord, he is a subordinate servant, which is his eternal constitutional position. It was the right thing, by the way. So with the process of devotional service, the reaction of change in the heart is exhibited. You can see, is it working? Are you changing your heart? By gradual detachment from the sense of material enjoyment, by a false sense of lording it over the world, and an increase in the attitude of rendering loving service to the Lord. So here Prabhupada defines what the change of heart entails. There should be a gradual detachment from sense enjoyment on one side, and on the other side there should be an increasement in the attitude of rendering loving service to the Lord. So if you can see in your heart that I'm becoming more and more removed from selfish enjoyment, and I become more and more inclined really to render service, loving service to the Lord, you know the transformation is taking place. Vidhi Bhakti, or regulated devotional service by the different parts of the body, namely the eyes, the ears, the nose, the hands and the legs, as already explained herein before, is now stressed herein in relation to the mind, which is the impetus for all activities of the limbs of the body. I admit, there's a very difficult English. Let me please say it in a simple English. So there is one stage of bhakti where you just engage the limbs of the body, but then you're supposed to move on and engage the mind, which after all gives the impetus for all the activities of the body. It is expected by all means that by discharging regulated devotional service, one must manifest the change of heart. If there is no such change in the heart, then the heart must be considered steel-framed, for it is not melted, even when there is chanting of the holy name of the Lord. We must always remember that hearing and chanting are the basic principles of discharging devotional duties. And if they are properly performed, there will follow the reaction of ecstasies with the signs of tears in the eyes and standing of the hairs on the body. No? These are natural consequences and are the preliminary symptoms of the bhava stage, which occurs just before one reaches the perfection stage of prema, love of Godhead. So then Prabhupada speaks about many things which are related to the change of heart, and at the end gives us a summary of the process of Krishna consciousness. He says this whole process can be summarized as follows. Let me just see this. He talks of the advanced devotee. The advanced devotee who chants the holy name of the Lord in a perfectly offenseless manner and is friendly to everyone can actually relish the transcendental taste of glorifying the Lord. So you can relish the transcendental taste when you chant the holy name free from offenses, and when you have an attitude of kindness and friendship towards everyone. And the result of such realization is reflected in the cessation, means it stops, of all material desires as mentioned above. The neophytes, due to their being in the lower stage of devotional service, are invariably envious, so much so that they invent their own ways and means of devotional regulation without following the acharyas. As such, even if they make a show of constantly chanting the holy name of the Lord, they cannot relish the transcendental taste of the holy name. Therefore, the show of tears in the eyes, the trembling, the perspiration, or unconsciousness, it is condemned. They can, however, get in touch with the pure devotee of the Lord and rectify their bad habits. Otherwise, they shall continue to be stone-hearted and unfit for any treatment. A complete progressive march on the return path home, back to Godhead, will depend on the instructions of the revealed scriptures directed by a realized devotee. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya, please. Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale. Imade Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitya Namine. Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pacharine Yevesesha Sonyavari Raskatyari Sadari Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Govakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. This verse talks of a problem. The problem is that although one practices Krishna conscious chanting of the holy name, there is no real change in the heart. There is no real progress to be witnessed in one's life. This refers to the second stage of chanting the holy name, which is the Nama Abhasa stage. Abhasa means something like a shadow, a reflection, something which is connected with a real thing, but still lacks the substance of it. If I could give you an example of a, let us say, a very fresh, juicy apple. There could be a shadow of the apple, provided I have a strong light, and it can be reflected on the marble floor of the temple. But this shadow reflection of the real apple will only resemble the original in form. It will be a look-alike apple. It doesn't have the colors of the apple, and what we are most interested in, it does not have the taste of an apple. The same is there with the reflection, let us say, of an apple tree in the water. There is something which looks like an apple, but if you should try to go there into this reflection and try to eat that apple, you would not really be successful. You would bite in the reflected apple, but the taste would be the taste of water, not the taste of the real thing, the apple. So, when you have the Namabhasa chanting, you have something which looks like the chanting of the holy name, but it really lacks the actual taste of chanting, which is described in yesterday's verse as a rasa. Nama chintamani Krishna's chaitanya rasa. Chaitanya rasa means this is a taste of full of spiritual life. You know, you have something which looks like the taste, the full taste of spiritual life, the Chaitanya Rasa, the living taste of Krishna consciousness. But it lacks the nourishment and also the real taste. The real nourishment and the taste will never ever appear to someone who is only engaged with the shadow. It is not happening. In Germany, I do not know if we have, also in Australia, we have shadow theater. Huh? You see the actors, but you cannot really recognize them. They are on a screen before you, but it's only the shadow. They are behind the screen, and there's a light even further behind them. This light falls on the actors, and you see the shadow. And sometimes they make forms like an elephant, but it's not a real elephant. It's only a shadow elephant. It is some look-alike, but it cannot do all the things a real elephant. Make the elephant sound and the elephant taste in the nose when it makes a typical elephant pile, you know, or the elephant heap. Hare Krishna. Now, I think you have the idea. Namabhasa chanting, or the abhas of the name, will be a look-alike. And that look-alike has already something. It looks like, oh yes, it's music, it's exciting. It is, and there is also something is there, we must say. Also some effect is there. It's not altogether useless. The Harinam Chintamani says, when you have this shadow chanting, already the bad influences of the stars, you know, the bad karma, will decrease. It's not fair to describe this Namabhas chanting as entirely useless. Some little result is there. The gross effects of material sinful life is waning with this. But the real ecstasy of Krishna consciousness, which is described here in Prabhupada, says it's the signs are there of tears in the eyes. These are happy tears, by the way. They are wonderful tears. Don't think, oh no, then I will cry and so on. No, it is something else than the tears of this world. It is the tears of ecstasy which wash away all remaining contamination in the heart. Huh? That is not yet taking place. And I would like to talk a little bit about this thing today. I want to pacify the audience of the older devotees who may be with us on the internet, and a few of us are here, the old Vaishnavas. This lecture is not describing that we all should be in ecstasy, but it will try to give a path to us that we can get out of the shadow and into the light of Krishna consciousness. So, the example of which Haridas Thakur uses for this Namabhasa stage is something which we experience all today in the morning. He says in that shadow chanting stage, the pure sun of the holy name is still covered, and it just doesn't get through, so that we are not really experiencing the full effect. It's just like today, the real sun is not visible, unfortunately, because it is covered by clouds. Sometimes in Sridhar Mayapur, in the early morning, you have another second covering factor of the sun. You have clouds, but then you also have this mist or fog, which is very, very humid and wet. It's really intense. When you have both, then you are wet and you can never dry your clothes. In the rainy season, the Mayapur is something else. It's really something else. So these two covering factors are there for the neophyte in Krishna consciousness. He is covered by two things, not just the one thing. What covers him are, first of all, the clouds of anattas, that is, unnatural things on the spiritual path. These anattas are hankering for illusory things, weakness of the heart, and offenses. He's covered like this by the 10 offenses of the holy name, and that results in the weakness of the heart. Would you like me to talk a little bit about shadow psychology this morning? How we are sometimes have a shadow in us? The scriptures describe this. Shadow, this is used in modern psychology and also in our ancient description of the covering of the soul. But because you are a little tired, I will talk in modern language for you, since this will maybe entertain you more or awaken your curiosity more. See, sometimes scriptural texts are so on such a high philosophical level that it's difficult for us to relate, but when we break it down to the actual experience of the human being, then we can know, this is what they are talking about. See, a shadow is something which you actually do not want. It's the things which you repress, which you don't show to the public. To the public, you may show a clean dhoti and a good tilak, but you do not want to show what's in your heart, the weaknesses, the attachments, your failures, and so on. You really are not interested to show this because maybe you don't get prasadam or you are not liked when they really know what's going on inside of you. I want to give you an example. We human beings are often like Indian shopkeepers. The things which don't sell so good, we keep them in the cellar. And the things which sell good, an enthusiastic smile and Haribol Prabhu, a good terminology, you know, a good expression, then we like to show to the public because then we are liked and people invite us and so on. However, the major part, the hidden part of the ice mountain of you, in the shadow which you try to hide in the cellar. Now, sometimes when you are public, this works perfectly. And yes, we all have a public face. It's not required that we tell everyone, you know, when we meet Ajit to Prabhu, do you know what's really going on in my heart? Do you want to know what I was dreaming about for 5 hours in the night? Why talk about it? It's not interesting even. But where it gets problematic, where there is something where it it is not good. It's when there are shadow breakthroughs. It's at those moments when the things which we are trying to hide in the cellar of our personality seem to climb up that cellar staircase. Tick, 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 tick. And jump into the public face. Wow, all of a sudden the Swami is convicted a homosexual. That was a shadow. It was there all this while. And he jumped out and came into the public face. And it was a scandal which is moving over ISKCON left and right and back and forth and doesn't, and so on. Everyone has these shadows. Maybe not this one. That is a very rare percentage who have this one. But there are shadows which every one of us has. And we are at times able to keep these suppressed is a bad word. It's hidden from the public view. But at other times they come through. The scriptures speak here. But see, my dear devotees, in spiritual life, it's different than in material life. Spiritual life, you can't, I will now say an Australian word, fake it. You can't, in other words, just be like an Indian shopkeeper who has everything good in the front window, you know, and all the bad things hidden. No, in the spiritual life, we want to purify the heart. We want to get down there in the cellar. We want to purify it because Krishna sees it. And because it is not good to have these things. They influence us. They move us. They work on us. They are the reason that we don't make advancement. All these things in the heart. Everyone can be the super duper Mr. Everything and project that to the outside. But only a few have purified their hearts. And these, we want to join this group. We are anyways already a minority. We Hare Krishnas. We might as well join another minority, the pure souls, you know. Because it is then and then only that it is possible for us to taste the Krishna consciousness. See, please listen to the sentence of Srila Prabhupada and ponder about it sufficiently. The whole process of spiritual culture is aimed at eating more prasadam. No, this was not right. I'm sorry, I mistook it. The whole process of spiritual culture is aimed at looking good for others. Oh, sorry. What's wrong with me? All my shadows come out this morning. Let me try again. The whole process of spiritual culture is aimed at changing the heart. Did I get it right? The aim is changing the heart. And what do we want to see here? Of the living being in the matter of his eternal relation with the Supreme Lord as a subordinate servant, which is his eternal constitutional position. My dear devotees, it's here where your litmus test has to be applied. Do you know what is a litmus test? It's something, you have a little piece of paper, and I don't want to explain it so much. So, and you can put it into some physical liquid and then take it out. And by the way it colors, you know that you maybe have a disease or you don't have the disease. So the litmus test, the test which you can put into your own spiritual life, it's not expensive. You don't have to run to the pharmaceutical place. Is, you know, are you actually in your heart feeling, I should now change, I should now serve Krishna, and so on. Prabhupada has expressed this change of the heart a few times in his purport. I would love to read to you this in another way. No. It was a decreasing. I remember it. I just can't see it at the moment. No. Hare Krishna. Here it is. The result of such realization is reflected in the cessation of all material desires, desires as mentioned above, and there should be an increasing attitude of devotional service. You know, they want to serve Krishna. In material life, everyone looks good. They put good fashionable clothes, a good haircut, which makes them look normal so that they can interact with others. When they're sportsmen, they get the right sports gear, you know, the right flask for drinking, you know, biking, you know, there's a biking dress, you know, it has a pants up till here, it's ridiculously narrow, and then it has another shirt and some air holes here under the thing, and then you have the right helmet, you know, and then you have the right cycling equipment, a cycling flask, you know, with the right cycling drink, you know, and so on. And that is material life, the shadow life, the unreal life, the fake, the external things. Spiritual life is a different sort of life altogether. It is a change in the heart, not a change in the dress, in the cycling dress and in the cycling flask and in the cycling this and that and the cycling language and the cycling films and so on and the cycling bed, you know, the ideal cycling bed. After cycling, you need the cycling bed, you know. No. It's something else. These clouds which cover us are aparadas and weakness of the heart. I would like to speak today. Oh my God, it's time is also there. Would you like to hear about some weaknesses of the heart, or is it just too confrontational for you? It's you know what goes on in your cellar, you know, attachments to objects which have no relationship to Krishna, my dear devotees. That's the film industry, the propensity to cheat and find faults, no? Criticizing others, appearing, giving an outside appearance, you know. There's a Japa retreat, holy name retreat, and you're chanting, and all of a sudden, you know, Gaurahari looks at you, and you're going, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. You know, and you become the super Japa man. And the eyes of Gaurahari looks the other way. And again, now this Mataji has entered the temple room. Oh, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. Hare Hare. You know, the propensity to cheat. Envy, another thing. Oh, he does so good. Why is Madhava always singing? I am a Swami. My voice is very developed. You know, and so on. by Krishna's mercy, this is not there. There are many other things, but I like to be a Madhava's kirtan. Krishna's mercy on me. Here, another thing. The desire for recognition. Very widespread. Yes. See me. See me. See me. Recognize me. You know, so on. So these are there. They are clouds which cover the pure holy name, and there is fog. Also things like this, and the remedy, my dear devotees, for this. And now, this is most important for us. Is the remedy for this is. It's in Harinam Chintamani. I even have the quotation here for you on the third chapter, that you meet actually a bona fide spiritual master. We have met Prabhupada by the will of Providence. And then you gain knowledge of what's really important. It's the soul's relationship with Lord Krishna. It's sambandha. The spiritual master then gives us the devotional service of chanting the holy name. That is called abhideya. In the language of Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, it's the seed of bhakti which you obtain as your real treasure. That seed is like a chickpea seed. Do you know chickpeas? They have like two little things in one. You know, I'm actually a part of Krishna. This is most important for me. My relationship to Krishna. I'm not really concerned any longer about how I appear in the public eye. I don't like these things which are separating me from Krishna, this selfish enjoyment. I think many of you are film lovers who love to see a good movie when no one looks. I have put my Argus eyes on you. And I know that sometimes you feel after seeing a movie, oh, this is not related to Krishna. It's just mindless entertainment. I don't want this any longer. Because I'm the servant of Krishna. I'm a part of Krishna. That is most important for me. I want to cultivate this now. Don't we know this movement in the heart? This feeling, I'm no longer interested in all these shadowy things. I want the real thing. Let me try to go into a kirtan and stay in the kirtan. I want the real thing. Even if I'm a little blind at the moment and a little fallen at the moment, I will try and give it my best. I will actually now read Srila Prabhupada's books and I will ponder about the subject matter. I will try to change this in one side of the brain and out immediately in the other side of the brain. So Haridas Thakur speaks about this. When the clouds and the fog are gone, you know, these material attachments and these things not related to Krishna, when it is gone, then the sun of the holy name shines brightly. Prabhupada, let us think about this. Now we cannot see the sun because there are clouds. But when the clouds are gone and it will come, there will be some good breezes here in this part of Australia at this time of the day. Ajit Taprabhu showed me on his all-knowing mobile telephone. There he has one function. It tells you about the breezes. You know, how strong or how weak they are at which part of the day. So there will be breezes. And then The sky will clear. And so, to the devotee who experiences this, how the clouds and fogs are gone, the holy name then gives him the gift of pure love, prema, for Lord Krishna. When the holy name gives a treasure of spiritual love, that is called prayojana. Then the soul is filled with love when he chants the holy name. Let me summarize for you. In the beginning states, we have to be very careful to avoid the gross offenses against Krishna, the holy name. Then as we advance, as you have done, we have to now see that the clouds of anatta and the fog of ignorance just goes. What it basically means in a positive way is very simple. You have to be mindful. Mindful means you have to fill your mind with only one very simple understanding. It's called the Sambandha Gyan, which you have received from Srila Prabhupada. It's the knowledge that you are an eternal servant of Krishna. And my dear devotees, if you chant from this place, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, and we will chant like this in our workshop this morning. It means simply you sit down and before chanting, you just understand, I am a part of Krishna. Is this too much? Can't you do that? Of course you can do it. Of course many of you are doing it already. You sit down. I am not this body, Anthony. I am the part of Krishna. I'm not thinking of you specially, but I'm just coming to life, seeing your blissful, smiling face, you know. You just sit down before you chant. I'm a servant of Krishna. I want to go out and eat pizza, but this will be servant for me. I will serve my belly until I get indigestion. No, I'm not doing this now. I will sit and I will chant for the pleasure of Krishna. Sambandha Gyan. I'm meant for him. I'm made for him actually. I'm like the hand on the body. This hand is meant to serve the body. In just the same way, I'm really meant to serve Krishna. This is my, here comes a difficult word, constitutional position. Constitutional position means it's something which I was meant for. Let me give you an example which Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives in another work, the Jiva Dharma. He speaks of the violin. The violin is meant to make a very nice sound. It's not meant to hammer a nail in the wall. It's not good in doing that. It will break, really. So the constitutional position of the violin is to make sounds, you know, and melodies, actually, eventually. So in the same way, you are meant to make a sound for Krishna, my dear devotees. You are meant to make a sound for Krishna, and that sound is Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. When you chant like this, my dear devotees, when you even just try to chant like this, I'm an eternal part of Krishna, then the clouds and the fog, the clouds of anattas, where you have selfish enjoyment, and the fog of ignorance, where you don't know who you are, where you think you are the body, this will go, and the sun, the bright sun of Krishna consciousness, will come to you, and you will be happy, and you will be very, very interesting, and infused. You will be on fire. Once Prabhupada spoke about this to a Benedictine monk. This monk was a leader of a big monastery near Straubing. big, big monastery, very well-known person, and very Prabhupada liked him. He took him with him on his morning walk. They conversed. He was a genuine religious person. And Prabhupada then addressed him so nicely. I have not come to ask you to preach to you philosophy. I have just come to ask you for one thing. Chant Hare Krishna. Chant Hare Krishna. Purify your consciousness and realize your constitutional position. And this is, of course, here Prabhupada was speaking as a preacher. He said, "Don't worry. I won't preach to you much. You are already in the orthodox tradition. That's all right. But just you can chant." Prabhupada, of course, came to teach us Sambandha Gyan. He has preached philosophy, and we are without it, we wouldn't have this ability. Oh, where is it? Oh, Krishna. Sorry. Without this, we couldn't really chant from our true position. It's necessary. The spiritual master gives us Sambandha Gyan. But also, see what he wants of us. You should just chant. You should purify your consciousness and realize your constitutional position, which in a simple way starts with understanding I'm not the body, I'm spirit soul, and more specific, I'm a servant of Krishna, and so on. My dear devotees, if you chant with this, miracles will happen to you. You will get out of the shadow and into the light. Your march on the path of light, if we want to speak a little poetically, has started. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in yet another work, the Bhagavat Adka Marichi Mala, speaks about the necessity of chanting with a sense of relationship. He says, even if someone chants without offense, and even if someone chants without duplicity, it means no nam apparat and no ignorance any longer. But if he still lacks knowledge of the relationship with the Lord, it is called shadow chanting. Should I say it again? Because it's a little bit hard to catch. Even if someone chants without offense, even if he chants without duplicity, but as long as he lacks knowledge of his relationship with the Lord, it is called shadow chanting. This is the whole point of this lecture. We can get out into Krishna consciousness by the merciful aid or help of a pure devotee of the Lord who gives us Sambandha Gyan and Abhideya. That means the knowledge that, my dear soul, you are not a Maya Das, you are a Krishna Das. And then you should now do Krishna Seva, And that is where we start when we want to get out of the shadows of material life. I want to really say now something which you will maybe like or you will dislike it. It depends on where you stand. This is the problem of the yoga scene. This is the problem of the yoga kirtan groups. They do not know that they are servants of Krishna. They will say, in a public program, you sing now this song and you sing it to yourself, to the divine inside of you. But this is still shadow shanti. This is still material life. And this is the specific gift of Krishna consciousness to the world. I was a friend of a person. You may know him. His name is Syam Das, a devotee in the Vallabha Sampradaya. And he was in America for actually many feel that in the yoga world he started the chanting of the Hare Krishna, of mantras and kirtan in general. Many feel like this, and then he really helped preachers like His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj and others to address that community who really like us now very much. They are very, very happy. Syam Das, he died maybe 2 years back. And he wants, we were meeting regularly in Govardhan, and we would sit together, talk together, chant together, walk through Braj together. And he once stopped and said, "Listen, Sachinandan Swami, I have to tell you one thing. You Hare Krishna devotees," and he was is a Vaishnava also, but you know, from another line, "you have one advantage and you don't even know it. You have something which sets you, which you, where you can really contribute to the kirtan and the yoga scenes. You know that you are a servant of Krishna. You have a knowledge of sambandha. Sambandha means relationship. And it is this knowledge which will make the whole kirtan a tasteful affair. You will sing with devotion actually for Krishna. It will get rasa, it will get taste, because it's a devotional effort. But if you think you are that to whom you are singing, if you are Mayavadi, how can you feel devotion? How can you feel that taste, that rasa of devotion? It's not possible. I have often, because it's known Germans are unpleasant people, I have this advantage. I can talk about these things, and I will now say something German to you, Krishna Das. How can you taste the sugar as long as you think you are the sugar? In other words, how can you taste the ecstasy of kirtan as long as you think you are the object of the kirtan? I'm saying this, and I say, please excuse me, I'm from Germany. Hare Krishna. My dear devotees, but you are now Hare Krishna devotees. You are already having this treasure. You need now to wake up to this treasure. You need to understand what it is that takes you out of the shadow and into the light of Krishna consciousness. And this, it's a simple thing of chanting with a sense of relationship. And in that, in our workshop, believe it or not, we will have an exercise from Bhaktivinoda Thakur, from the purport, where we are actually going to do it. And it is like day and night. It's the whole difference. What it could mean for us practically is that before we chant, something like Shikshastakam, a prayer to Lord Krishna. "Oh Lord, my dear Lord, Ayinanda Tanuya, I'm actually fallen from you into this material world, and I'm now calling out to you, please again accept me as one of the particles of dust at your lotus feet. No? The lotus naturally has some, it's called pollen of flower dust, do you know? And the natural position of the flower dust is inside the lotus or connected to the lotus. So the devotee prays, my dear Lord, my natural constitutional position is to be connected with you, to be connected with your lotus feet and serve you. Now, I know the problem with us sometimes is we have the highest, but we always are on automatic pilot. Like when you chant the Shikshastakam, and you did it already 100 times, you go on automatic pilot, and you speak it like half asleep, you know, or half dead, and you never think about one verse, though you speak the verse. That's a problem when you do things repeatedly. Then the mind just switches off. That's the problem also when you chant the Hare Krishna mantra. The mind will say, I know what it is, Hare, and then Krishna, and then Hare, right? And then Krishna, and then Krishna, Krishna, am I right? Yes, see, I know. You have to tell your mind it. Yeah. It's not there. There's much more than you see. If you're purified, you will see actually, you will recognize it is Krishna. It is his qualities of Krishna. There's much more than hits your dull eye, my dear brother mind. So, yes, get out of that mechanic chanting and chant in the relationship. My dear Lord, I left you. Chant like Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says we should do. And kindly now accept me again. This is called chanting Visambandha. This is the treasure of our sampradaya, of our school. And when you add this little thing, it changes everything. It's like bringing the light into the dark room. Oh, oops. All of a sudden the room looks as if you see it for the first time. Hare Krishna. I have said, or I have ended this class. We have still 14 minutes. If you have any questions, I would appreciate if you have questions on the subject matter. Yes, there's Gaurahari, and there is Ajita, did I see your hand or was it yet? I will ask the devotees first from here and we can also. Ajita Prabhu, please say your question.
You mentioned before that we hide the things in our heart or in the cellar.
Yes.
But I think we live in a society, in the Krishna conscious society, which is full of people.
Whatever is in the cellar becomes, sorry?
Garage sale.
I need to understand it. Garage? I know where you park a car.
Sale.
What are you having in a house which is selling very cheap?
Aha, you sell it very cheap?
I mean, it's out there on the street.
You're moving out.
You sell it very cheap. I'm not so good in English. Yes. Yes.
My point is just that we live in a society that if we avail ourselves properly of the association, then everything that's in the cellar will come out.
This is The process of dealing with these anattas is given in Chaitanya Charitamrita, and I find it a very nice analogy, which I also found in the Patanjali's, the commentaries of the Patanjali Sutras. There, another example is given, not the cellar, but it is said, our heart is like a garden. And in this garden there are good plants, that is the Bhakti Lata Beach, but there are also disturbing plants, which are weeds, which can become dangerous. And it is up to the individual to become a gardener and weed. And I think this is a very good analogy to what is going on in the society and what Ajita Prabhu was mentioning. There are advanced souls in our movement, many, and they sometimes in lectures mention about our weaknesses and so on. And this helps us to identify them. But then we need to do the work ourselves. We need to get into that garden of our heart and then take out, with that knowledge which we have obtained, the weeds which are in there. All of us have to take care, each one individually, of his garden. Srila Prabhupada speaks about this in a very wonderful purport to Chaitanya Charitamrita, where he speaks about cleaning the heart, and he says, when someone cleanses his heart, then the Lord will come on the throne of the heart. Just think about this, and be there. And then a devotee should celebrate a festival and distribute prasadam. In other words, it's an individual process to cleanse the heart. Another analogy is that the heart is like the Gundicha Mandir, and then we must clean it, and then on the throne Lord Jagannath will come. That's this analogy. But the cleaning needs to be done by each one. And I must say that this is was a turning point in my spiritual life. I first thought Krishna consciousness is a washing machine. I plunge into it, and everything will happen by Krishna consciousness. But then I understood, and that was a turning point. In Krishna consciousness, we are hearing from Srila Prabhupada and many advanced souls, and then we can take these things to heart. But then it is us who have to be responsible for the cleaning of our heart. It is us who have to do the work. We have to get there, you know, and wipe the floor or from all the dust and the straw, or we have to get there and weed the weeds, you know, pull out the weeds. Many analogies are given and so on. But it is true that the association of devotees, here I want to bring out another point in Ajita Prabhu's question, the association of devotees is highly helpful. In the association of devotees, two things take place. First of all, you are becoming aware of your weaknesses. My God, when we were with Prabhupada, you know, sometimes we were freezing. Like, oh, I'm so foolish. I mean, if I do know something, if I give something to Prabhupada, for instance, he would say, don't give it with your left hand, give it with your right hand, because you give You give with your right hand, which is the pure hand, and the left hand is meant for, you know, bathroom activities. And Prabhupada would correct us on all these things because we got it wrong in the materialistic culture, and we meet now a luminary. I remember once I came in, Prabhupada had, there was a service I was meant to do for Prabhupada. I can tell you what it was. I was so fortunate. I was called into massage Srila Prabhupada, my best activity in this lifetime. And I came in, and I knew from previous meetings with Prabhupada that I'm a big fool, you know. So I came in, and the moment I saw him, he was so awe-inspiring for me. I was very little young, and I came in, I was maybe 18 years, I blushed, and I started to perspire like an idiot, you know. And I looked, and Prabhupada looked at me with this expression, and he said, "Just do your service." Hare Krishna. So in the association of devotees, they act like a mirror. Sometimes you see your pimples, you know, and what you have, and you have to take them out, and so on. But the other thing, which is much more important, is in the association of devotees, you can actually hear about Krishna conscious subject matters. It is very tasty. It's very enjoyable. It becomes extremely attractive. And you say, in other words, devotees are not just showing you your cellar and naming what is inside, all the gremlins and the yakshas and the rakshasas which you put in there. No, that is one aspect of devotee association. The other is you hear about Krishna. There's a kirtan, you can join in the kirtan. You hear some Krishna katha, some all this, some that, all that about. And that is very important in the association of devotees. These two things happen. It is described in the Bhagavatam, Rasayana Katha. You hear some Rasayana Katha, something which is full of taste, which inspires you. Thank you very much for your wonderful contribution and question, Ajita Prabhu. And I just, while you are all here, I must tell you, I'm so happy to be at this farm. This is the kingdom of God. It's a second Vrindavan or second Mayapur. Even when you leave where I stay, you go there, and all of a sudden it smells like Mayapur. There's some champak flowers we have here. It is really... And then you walk. I walked yesterday with Gopinath, and Gopinath says, "Look, there's a mango tree. Wow." And then we walked further. "Look, there's Govardhan. My God, where are we?" You know, the Govardhan hill we saw. "And what's there? Well, look, this is Anakuchetra." Now you just have to take the clouds and the fog from the consciousness, and you will be in Vrindavan or in Mayapur. It's just this cloud. We have to get out of the clouds, get out of the mist, and just it's so simple. You just connect with Krishna and say, "I'm a servant of Krishna, and I chant from this position." And we will learn this in the workshop. It's very practical. It's our acharyas are not theoretical. They just give us really substance what to do. I thank you very much. I wish you a wonderful second retreat day. Don't forget, we have some serious work to do. Our Nanandini will give us an orientation. Are you here? Yes. The times and what will happen, and